David Duncan. I live on the river down between Warren and Narromine, down near Trangie. I have known about the Macquarie Marshes for some time. They're a unique part of the river system, and I guess some of you had a bit of interest in the whole system, how it works, understanding that system, and then how we can, I guess, try and maintain the values that come with it, understanding just the things that impact, and then having some input into management of those. First time I saw the marshes would have been in late 70s. At the time we were farming down the other side of Walgett, so in some lake bed country, and understood the wetting and drying and the coming and going, so that sort of kindled the interest, I guess, with that in that process. And I guess that was really the first time that I had much to do with trying to get to understand or know what was going on in the marshes. In the work that we were doing in the lake bed in the 70s, you sort of get connected to what you're doing. In all of it, want to understand how we can do it easier, do it better, do it in a more sustainable way, and understand, how we can work with the system and with nature to one, conserve the nature, but also to increase the productivity so we can both have a win out of it. A wetland like the Macquarie Marshes is unique in that it is at the end of a river system. It's here because that's where the water sort of gets to, and then it runs out of energy, and just the low sort of regular flows just make its way into there, and it becomes an area that is important for a whole range of, biodiversity, for vegetation and animals, birds, the frogs, that whole process. It's unique in that system, and it's unique to the landscape. What I consider the marshes are those areas that get frequently wet, frequently inundated every year or two, whereas the marshes is often interpreted as a much bigger area that includes floodplains that are rarely flooded. So the Macquarie Marshes is that big mix of areas that get wet, regular areas that don't. Understanding how all that fits to me is part of understanding what it's going to look like into the future, I suppose. There's elements within there that can be, from an agricultural perspective, can be productive. But there's a limitation to how far you push that system to look after the agricultural output as opposed to the conservation values, things you're trying to maintain, because if you just keep pushing the production, it will fall over, I guess. If you keep exploiting and keep clearing the vegetation, trying to change the vegetation to something that is more productive from an agricultural perspective, you'll lose its ability to provide other ecological outcomes. The period that I've been involved has probably been lucky in that it has been a wet period of a few decades, and that those periods, that late 1900s was far wetter than the early 1900s. So that's been good from the marshes in terms of letting the marshes grow and try to expand and repair from some earlier damage in the droughts and the dries. It's also given us opportunity to, I guess, allow river regulation to come and go and settle down. I guess the big issue has been the change in the focus of agriculture generally to producing more grain, to producing more livestock for every acre, for every millimetre of rain, and the stakes have become higher because agricultural inputs have become higher. And a consequence of that is that some of these systems that do provide, like the marsh system can provide a lot of food, have also had extra pressure put on them to deliver because the stakes are far higher from an ag perspective. The pendulum will continue to swing. It'll go from one thing to the other. People will come and go. Pressure will change, come and go. 90% of the land around the marshes, in the broader sense of the marshes, is privately held, whereas only 10% of it's publicly held. That 10% does have far more of the 10% is regularly wet than the private property. So from that sense, that'll still come and go. I think, yeah, that the rangeland grazing is something that'll continue. Tourism, maybe, see where it goes to. There'll always be those that are interested, but it won't be be a while till tourism becomes a profit centre to the landowners. I see Burrima as being a spot where the landowners on Burrima aren't looking for that financial outcome. We're not reliant on it. The stakes that are involved for the landowners are relatively low. So if Burrima can be managed as a relatively low cost centre and provide access, it gives people opportunity to come and have a look. Takes pressure off national parks because the conservation reserves are locked up. It gives people a chance to come and have a look at an area that has a range of vegetation, lots of different things happening, and does showcase part of the area that does get relatively wet within the marshes.